How you going? How are you?
Very nice to meet you over the computer here.
Yeah, thank you very much for accepting my invitation and accepting to be on my show.
Absolutely. Where are you coming from right now?
I'm from South India.
Great. Well, how's the summer treating you?
It's winter here.
Oh, it's winter. Oh, that's right. Amazing. Is it nice weather during the winter for you?
Yeah, it's so cool here.
That's right. Well, I gotta think of my hemispheres.
So, firstly, thank you very much for coming to my show and letting my audience know about the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. Pleased to do it.
So, before talking about you and the work that you are doing, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Kevin Brown. I'm CEO and co-founder of Innit. We are a food intelligence company that is basically going deep on nutrition, personalization, recipes, cooking, all of the meal journey, and then embedding those into AI to enable trusted AI that helps people, get help with eating better.
So you're from?
So I'm from California, so I'm here in the San Francisco area.
So what made you to start this?
So I've been building companies here in the Valley for the last 25 years. So done the whole stack of networking, storage, security, virtualization, e-commerce, AI, and so I met up with my co-founder, Eugenio Minvielle. Eugenio had been CEO of Nestle and Unilever in various parts of the world, so running some of the biggest food businesses. And he had a vision for how food was going to digitize. So I'd been, working in all these horizontal technologies, but what I saw is that there was a tremendous opportunity to apply these technologies now to really important verticals. And in my view, I think that the intersection of food and health is one of the biggest problems to be solved. If you look at, today, 1 in 5 deaths are due to poor diet. In the U.S., for example, 50 to 60% of adults have at least one chronic disease, most of which are diet related. It's going to bankrupt healthcare systems. It's going to, it's really a growing problem. And so, for many years, people have struggled. Other parts of life have gotten easier. You push a button and a car shows up. You push a button, the perfect song plays. It's all personalized and AI driven, but food has lagged behind, and so people are confused, they're lost. And so, putting together that, that question every day of what's for dinner, and how do you do that in a way that meets your, all of your different diets and allergies and lifestyles and, preferences, is really complicated. And like for my family, I'm the chef, and there's, four totally different diets. And so, I think today it's gotten complicated for folks. And so, what we want to, enable is there's a new generation coming. So first there was a web browser, then there was the mobile, and now there's a new wave of interface with AI. And so people are just going to ask their AI, "What's for dinner?" Now it's a simple question, right? But it's a complicated answer because you have to, look at diets and health and, what did I have for lunch? How many steps do I have? There's many different factors that might determine what are good recommendations. And so generative AI is good at, that creative process, but it's got a big gap. And the big gap being that it sometimes it comes back with the wrong answers. Sometimes it hallucinates. And health is too important to, kind of leave to chance. And so what we've done is we've taken the 10 years of work that we've done working in the food industry, where we've gone very deep on personalized nutrition, even working with companies like Roche to do this for people with type 2 diabetes. So, choosing which foods you're going to purchase and what you're going to, make for your meal plan is really critical for people that have these health conditions. And so, we act as kind of a companion where we're helping, personalize that and, help them generate those healthy meal plans that'll taste great. Because if it doesn't taste great, you're not going to keep doing it. So that we've got really deep in those areas, and now we're using those expert systems that we built to now provide safety rails around generative AI. So you can let the generative AI, you know, run, go do its thing. And it's amazing. I mean, I've been, you know, building tech for 25 years and I'm blown away with the capabilities of this new generation of large language models. And I think it's captured the imagination of you know, everyone. Something like 83% of enterprises say that they're going to increase their spending in generative AI. So like everyone is planning to go here, but it's going to get stuck very quickly if the results can't be trusted. And so what we've done is we've created a new architecture we call validators, so that we can basically have these expert engines that are running. And we know the definition of a paleo diet. We know the way to score products or to pick things around allergies. So I'll give you an example. If you have a corn allergy, there's over 300 different chemical names that mean corn, right? So, you know, unless you have a PhD in chemistry, you know, good luck reading your food label and figuring all of that out, much less all the other, you know, sort of dietary factors. So this is where, you know, the AI in the future will know these things, you know, and can incorporate them. And so that's, you know, we've been building those personalization systems for large clients in the grocery, in the brand, you know, we've worked closely with Google. And so we've been, you know, building this for the industry, and now we're embedding it directly so it can run alongside the AI, you know, embedded in the AI to deliver something that's got the creativity, but it's also got the certainty.
So you are doing this since last 10 years, and how you are able to connect the nature products with the technology?
So, you know, it's very interesting, the intersection of food and tech. So we built a team that was specialized around this. We have a science committee, incredible experts. You know, the head of our science committee was dean of the Harvard School of Public Health. You know, before that, he was the health minister of Mexico, right? You know, just we're so fortunate and so grateful to have the, you know, the senior team around us. Everyone is really aligned on, hey, we can make a big impact and eventually help a billion people, you know, eat better and live better and healthier. And so that's the mission all of us are on and really committed to. And so the idea here is that, you know, we built up, you know, the teams to be able to go deep on the science and on the health. You know, we have doctors and nutritionists and so forth. We built up the expertise on the food side, because you need to, you know, go and navigate all of the very specific food data types. So think of, you know, all the complexity of all the food data, you know, and how do you aggregate that and turn that into a good experience. So we've gone deep in food, we've gone deep in health and dietary nutrition aspects, and we've kind of merged those together. And what we've, you know, as a strategy decided to do is to make sure that we can meet consumers where they are. So we've taken a B2B approach to this to power large, you know, customers of ours that are, you know, delivering these new services. And now, as they're all looking at delivering generative AI services, it's very timely, I think, to bring all of this, you know, capability and embed it in so that they can, you know, very simply add, you know, now whether it's, you know, generation of content, whether it's search, whether it's other functions that they want for their consumers. We want to make sure that we can do that to support their needs for, you know, credible, you know, vetted, you know, sort of content, and have the right safety rails on it to get a good experience.
So eventually the service that you are doing, the connectivity that you are doing in order to serve humans, so what kind of user experience that you are hearing?
So we've done a number of things. You know, with our platform today, we're doing things like personalized nutrition, where we can create a personalized nutrition score for every single product in the store. So, you know, if you're, you know, paleo, pescatarian diet, you're trying to cut down on sodium, you're allergic to five things, you know, it can calculate and then recommend the right products, you know, out of 30,000 products in the store. You know, and we cover over 3 million worldwide. So that's an example. You know, that's been shipping. We've done that for millions of people. We've, you know, done this with multiple big customers. We powered some of this for Google when we were helping power the early pilots of Google Lens with the food industry. So, you know, we know how to do that. Another piece where it turns into a consumer experience is what we call shoppable recipes. So shoppable recipe is where basically you can go and find the right recipe that looks delicious, it's healthy, and maybe it meets your diet, but then you look at the ingredients list and there's 14 things you need to hunt down. So if you're busy but now you have to go search and find all those in your grocery e-commerce or track them down on a shopping list, that's pretty tricky. And so what we've done is we've collapsed all that work. So we're using AI to map all of the ingredients onto the products in your local store. So we have real-time access to see into the store. We have real-time access into pricing. And we can go bargain shop for you to find the best price on olive oil that goes into your recipe. We can now filter it based on your diet and use that scoring mechanism to now pick, here's the right yogurt. You need yogurt for your sauce. What's the right yogurt for you? Well, let's look at how much added sugar. Let's look at preservatives. Let's look at all of the factors. And be able to make all those decisions automatically. So what's happening? So what we're already doing today with a retailer, and in some cases with brands like Nestle, where you can get inspired with a recipe, and then you click, and we'll automatically find all the products and put them in your shopping cart. So this is a shoppable recipe, and this is pretty relevant because in the future with AI, what's going to happen is people are going to have kind of their AI personal assistant. And they'll just say, hey, set up soccer practice on Tuesday, and put it in my calendar and, plan dinner for this week, and it'll come back with some recommendations and say, all right, Friday, we're going out to dinner with friends. So, make a restaurant reservation for that night, buy the rest of the groceries automatically. And so, you'll get recommendations that are tailored to you, and then it'll actually go and execute that. So if you think of the hour or two every week that people go through, very stressful making that list of what am I going to buy and what's for dinner and the kids are so picky, all of those challenges, we're going to essentially see that collapse down where you just tell your AI assistant to do it. Now that's going to be pretty amazing and to take a major burden every week off people, a lot of cognitive load that we can reduce there, but it's got to be right. If you're going to have your AI go and spend, $120 to go buy groceries, they better be right. you'll be upset if you get things that you're allergic to that don't, meet your diet, that, that's going to be a bad experience. And so this is where all the deep work we've been doing on the personalized nutrition, all the health profiles, all these expert systems, and bringing it all the way through e-commerce. Now we're pretty uniquely positioned to bring a trusted AI experience that can go from inspiration, how do I plan, shop, prepare, and cook, and go the whole way, including automatically buying your groceries.
So how much time the artificial intelligence is saving understanding the intelligence of human?
So, think of if I'm going to shop for a brand new recipe, my doctor told me I should eat healthier, or I want to, get inspired for, the summer, for the winter, maybe it's New Year's and I've made some resolutions. So there's different triggers that people have and they say, okay, I'm going to go find some new foods that are healthier. And so, they come in, they look at something and it looks great. They want to make it, but that moment where they need to figure out maybe ingredients that they're not familiar with, maybe it needs ginger, but they're not sure if it's pickled ginger or sliced ginger or crushed ginger or fresh ginger. People just, there's a big gap, in terms of some of that confidence for what should I go select and buy for this. And so that's a major, barrier for people to change their diet. As a result, people, eat the same few foods over and over. A lot of families only have four or five meals that they make, again and again. And so if you want to break into something new, there's this big barrier. And so what we want to do is we want to collapse that. So that could take 20, 30, 40 minutes if you had to search all of the ingredients, you had to figure out which size you needed for how many servings, like just all of that load. We can essentially collapse. And so, it can be really powerful if we gave you two or three more meals you could make regularly that were healthier, that swapped out the, the pasta for brown rice, one of the nights to make sure you're getting whole grains. Maybe it's putting in lean proteins because you've said that you're training for a sporting event. There's a lot of motivations and a lot of, triggers for people of that they want to change what they're eating. And they know that, that a lot of the stuff they're eating today is is not helping them. So, that's where we want to take that exciting sort of moment where people want to, change, and we want to, remove the friction. So you can just say, that looks great, click it. And now all the ingredients arrive and you've got, detailed step-by-step instructions to turn it into a successful meal.
So how you are able to connect the technology and the health experts together as a founder of this company?
So this has been where teamwork comes in, because we had to teach each other the languages of these different disciplines. So I came out of technology, so I've got a lot of depth there, but I had to learn the food aspects, the health aspects, and vice versa. So part of this is bringing a cross-functional team that has the different expertise and trusting each other and learning from each other. So that's the fun of part of the journey. As an entrepreneur, I love having smart people around and learning from them.
So different age groups, different kind of people and bodies, different the functions of the bodies from different places and different parts of the world will be different. So how you are able to customize and give what exactly works for their body?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's so essential. Food is very personal and it's very cultural. It's very regional. And so we have customers in the U.S., in Europe, in Asia. We have a customer in Singapore. So the foods are different. The nutrition is different, the information that you get about the food products. So this is some of the hard work that we've done over the past years to build a system that can, navigate that. So, even in the U.S., for example, there's different markets, like the Spanish language market is a big one for one of our clients. And so, we power their English, language, but also their Spanish language, recipes and shoppable and experiences. So this is part of what it takes to do this in a professional and, sort of a safe way. And this is what we can bring to our clients, many of them whom are global. We can come in and say, hey, we've done this. When we come to new territories, there's new learning we have to do, but we've already got the platform and systems that are built for it.
So like you said,
Well, and to very directly answer the question, if we come to a new place, we have to have the local ingredients, the local recipes, the local, so it's really, there's a lot of underlying infrastructure to support that. But in the end, the person who's in Singapore needs to look at it and it needs to match what they want to cook.
So as a founder, you must be very specific about user needs. So how you will be taking care of that?
So we actually, in the earlier days of the company, we did a year-long consumer trial. And we cooked with thousands of people. We brought them through kind of a smart kitchen, smart e-commerce experience before any of it existed in the market. We had sort of foreseen it, and so we started to look into the future and then bring consumers in. And so we did extensive hands-on where we're taking videos and listening and asking questions. So we started out with this exploration, and what we discovered is that there's a common meal journey. It's how do I plan, shop, prepare, and cook every single day, right? What's for dinner? How do I find the right, foods for my crazy diet and my family's? How do I, turn that into, how do I get that prepped and, on a busy Tuesday night where the kids have, soccer practice or, whatever it is. And ultimately, how do I, successfully cook it and have it taste great? So all of those steps. So we discovered that there were the common stumbling blocks at each of them. And we just heard from thousands of people and continued to do that research that said, hey, it's stressful figuring out what's for dinner, right? When I hear that, people just tense up because they know that, you know, they have to come up with something new and they're on the spot. And, you know, if it doesn't taste good, the kids are going to be grumpy. So it's something that is a daily stressor. It's a daily challenge for a lot of families, and, you know, people have gotten a lot busier. It's something that, we really, tried to listen very closely to those stumbling blocks, because if we can help address those, remove the friction so that people can, can enjoy the food, that's the goal. So I'll give you an analogy. I used to drive around with paper maps back in the day, right? And then when GPS arrived, and it gave you the left and right turns, it knows that there's traffic. So something like Waze, has been an incredible help, especially for people, that get lost or that they're not confident with, going new places. It really, opened up the world a lot for people to, they put in the address, it comes in directly from their calendar, and, and they know how to drive there now, and they can, have a nice conversation with their family, and then it gives them warning when they need to take the left turn. So that was an analogy of how something went from stressful, paper maps to now digital, GPS. And the same thing can apply now for multiple different parts of life. And food is a perfect example. People are lost. that paper recipe you're using is a paper map. So how do we, personalize it? How do we, give that step by step? How do we tailor it along the way, so you can, just simply get the left and right turns, and then you get to your destination of, something great on the plate.
So, like you mentioned, different regions have different types of foods. So, how many kinds of foods are there in your list, and how a person can able to get what he wants in the time that he has?
So, one of the things that we've done is, so we work with industry sources for food data. So, both for recipes, and then now with AI, we're generating recipes that are personalized and tailored. And then, there's product data. So think of all of the products on the shelf at your store. So the, an average store has, 30 or 40,000 in a big supermarket. But, worldwide, there's, millions. So, we've done the work to ingest and learn those, and we can analyze them down to the sub ingredient level. So, whether that's understanding, which chemical names mean corn, which different, ways. And it's sneaky. The food industry has been kind of bad about it. So sometimes they won't say it has sugar. They'll say it has evaporated cane juice. Right. But we need to translate all that and make sure that we're helping people select the right foods. And so, we have to go deep on, all of the recipes and different cuisines and so forth. We have to go deep on understanding the products, and then we have to go deep on understanding the people. The food is complicated and people are complicated. And so those are the areas where we built the automated systems now that can do that. And, as this comes into sort of the generative AI flow, it's a very natural language, interface for people to say, iteratively, hey, give me a meal plan, that does this and this and this. And then they get back results, and then they can refine them. Hey, the kids don't like broccoli anymore. Like, let's substitute green beans. There's a new consumer experience that'll happen where, your AI assistants will, increasingly do that for you. So we're building that in, when you go, to the grocery store, where we want, that functionality there, but you'll also have it maybe on your phone or, in other parts of your life. And so, we want to be there, when those, decisions are being made, to really be there to help people kind of, handhold them and make sure that, that we take the complexity out of it.
So 10 years ago, on the day one when you started this, the technology was different. Now the technology evolution, after the evolution of the technology, now you are into AI and you are trying to contribute and serve people the expected result. So how do you define this change?
So one of the interesting parts is very early we started with not only the computational engines for nutrition and diet and so forth, but with AI. So we built some of the first computer vision models in the food industry starting in 2014. And we ended up powering Google Lens with those. And so there's a kind of a rich history of how we've been marrying the food science with the technology. And, you know, now, you know, the definition of that, you know, comes into the new interfaces that people are looking to do.
So you were telling about the change, the evolution.
Yeah, so you know, the interesting part is we actually had a pretty early, you know, start on understanding where things might go, you know, with AI. So we started working in 2014 with, you know, some of the AI models and, you know, on computer vision. Then we went to basket prediction and sort of using machine learning to match the groceries, you know, so using all of these tools. And so, you know, I think all of us have been a little bit surprised at the major jump that generative AI, you know, had in terms of its you know, abilities, but there was zero surprise that this is where it was going. And so for us, you know, that evolution has been looking, you know, into the future and doing some of the heavy R&D to be ready for it. But then, you know, bringing back and delivering, you know, what worked at each of the stages for companies. So, you know, starting with web pages, moving to mobile, and now, you know, moving to AI. So that evolution has been pretty purposeful for us. We've you know, hired the experts that, you know, that we need to really do a good job of it.
So now you are reaching more audience and more people are using your technology. So how you are able to give the quality service to maximum number of people?
Absolutely. So the way it works, you know, kind of with building tech companies is you start with the first few customers. And you really love them to death, right? You really have to do a great job, you know, no matter what it takes, you know, just the whole team has, you know, is committed to the success of the client. And through that, you learn, you know, what are the rough spots that need to be, you know, sort of improved. What are the opportunities to add new capabilities that really round it out? And so then as you go, then you can, you know, productize it, you know, and package it a little bit more broadly. So when it's more automated, you know, you lower the barriers to friction. So, you know, now we've got, for example, you can have web widgets. So with four lines of HTML code, you know, you can embed this just like you would an advertising, you know, block, and, you know, now start to get functionality that you can turn on very quickly. And so this is where we've been, you know, doing the product work to make sure that we can, you know, make this accessible even to folks that don't have large engineering teams to integrate.
So not many people have the users have a technology knowledge or they are not technology experts. So how good you are in reaching with a non-technical audience?
Well, this is so essential. We know that people aren't, you know, computer scientists. Most people aren't celebrity chefs. Most people, you know, sort of have, you know, that they've got a need to put meals on the table, but you know, today there's a big gap for them, and they're missing something. And so this has been one of the really important areas that we've worked in is developing very, you know, slick consumer experiences. You know, for example, we worked with Tyler Florence from the Food Network, and, you know, he helped us build a lot of the recipe structure, the modular recipes. You can swap things in and out, step-by-step videos. So we've done a lot of work on, you know, the interfaces that make it very intuitive, and have gotten very good feedback and ratings on that. You know, so we know how to do the deep tech and, you know, go deep on food and health and, you know, all of the new technology pieces. But, you know, all of that is in service of something that, you know, the consumer can access and just, you know, every day just feel like, you know, it's the left and right turns, right? Just like there's a lot of science that goes into GPS satellites and, you know, figuring out all the maps and all the AI that was needed for that to find your best path. But, you know, for the user, it's a left or a right turn and here's the street name. So it's, you know, it's got to be that level of simplification to be successful. And so we've done quite a bit of work on building very intuitive consumer experiences.
So if you are a user of your own application, so what do you like in it?
So what do I like in it?
Yeah, what do you like it?
Well, so for me, first off, dealing with all of the complexities of diet and so forth, I do look at labels and what's in it. So that's the name of our company, in it. But the more I can offload that to the system to just scan that for me, if there's my family has some allergies, if it can just be alerting me and picking the version of the product that doesn't have those automatically, then that puts me in a better spot. So I love that, tackling the complexity of nutrition. Another piece that I love is the shoppable recipes, because it takes a long time. If you want to cook something new, let's say I wanted to make a new Indian dish that I'd never made before, maybe I don't know the ingredients that well, maybe I don't know which things to pick. And so if I can now, see it and then click it and then, it arrives at my house this afternoon, and, it's the right size, it's the right type, it's the right products. And then maybe I've got, some, step-by-step, instructions that, and maybe even videos that help me, sort of prepare that dish, that's really the help that I need. And so, for me, that's what's exciting. And, just working in the industry, I've gotten to cook alongside a lot of those celebrity chefs and see how we're taking their techniques and then, making them available and simplified so that, a home cook can get a really good result.
What do you say about pricing?
So pricing for our services or pricing for food?
Yeah, pricing for your services.
Yeah, so we've done it as a SaaS model. So it's software as a service. And so, think of the different modules of, nutrition, personalization, health, e-commerce. And, we have different, engines essentially that run that. And so, when we come into a client, it would have cost them, a couple of years of development and millions of dollars to build. We can do it, today. It'll plug right in and it'll be much less costly. So, that's the value proposition we're bringing to the industry. And especially when it gets to more advanced tech like AI, there's even less companies that are really have the depth and competence to build their own AI system to do all this. And so, we think it's a really good opportunity. The food industry is a $9 trillion industry globally. And if you look at just the health impact of people not eating well, that number is $11 trillion. So if we look at that intersection of food and health, there's a $20 trillion, market that needs help. And, prevention is much cheaper than treatment. If you look at, if we can help people eat and live, better, eat healthier, make it taste good, make it, lower stress, then we think we can have a really big positive impact. And that, there's a lot of the companies in the world that hear this from consumers that's what they want. And so if we can help them get there faster and scale that to millions of people, that's really the business success for us is getting out there, being behind that and having some of these, top corporations that, are our clients and paying.
So reaching multi-regional and being multinational and being multi-food. So how do you define this?
Well, it's important. So we've gone pretty deep. Rolling out with services in the U.S. We've started in various countries in Europe. And as I mentioned, a very focused entry point in Singapore, which has the benefit of English language, and also it's a really good launching point into Asia. So for us, we've been thoughtful and strategic about which places to start. But then part of it is our customers then bring us along of like, hey, we want to roll this out in a new place. And so, then we work with them to make sure that we can, manage it. And so, for us, it's really, we want to be very easy to work with and really support, their business objectives. And so we've had, really good success working closely with clients where sometimes they might start with something small and then they give us another piece of work. Then they give us a bigger one. And so we kind of land and expand and yeah, and work you know more and more closely with them to build more. So that's you know just part of our ethos is you know hey let's you know have great initial experiences, deliver value immediately, and then you know be able to have a platform that continues to extend the benefits and that they can go deeper with.
And what do you say about a multicultural country like India, which has multiple food types?
Well, it's really essential to start to build that into the way the systems operate. You can't just take Italy's a similar example. There's like 17 or 18 different cuisines that are all very distinct in Italy, and it hasn't been a single country for that long. that it used to be a lot of small countries. And so, the same thing with India, even with the U.S., the U.S. has got many different regions with different cuisine. We're working with a big, customer in the Southwest and in Texas, and, they love Hatch chilies. And, it's really essential. They have a whole set of recipes and dishes that people love to have every year during Hatch chili season. So it's part of the fun is, how do we, have a strategy where we can bring in the content that's going to be meaningful and meaningful locally, and then make sure that we can deliver those services in a way. There's a lot of commonality for how people shop, but they're buying different things.
And who are your users? The most of your users.
So in terms of end users, it's regular families that are are shopping, and so we've had solutions that work in stores. So we have, for example, we acquired a company called Shopwell, and so they had a service where you could scan the product barcode and get your nutrition score back. So that all you need is a phone, and you could do that. So we've had millions of people do that. So there's in-store, but then, as people have been moving to e-commerce, and especially with the pandemic, that, really ramped up the percentage of shoppers that were coming in online, then we can do even more there, because, that's where we can do things like a shoppable recipe. So instead of giving you just a shopping list, you say, make the recipe, and we go find the 14 ingredients for you. We can really bring a lot more automation, a lot more to that online shopping experience. So our end users or the end consumers are regular people like you and me that that need to put dinner on the table, and so we need to be helpful. We need it's all about can we provide actionable assistance that makes their life better, that makes their day a little bit easier, that helps them find a better food that maybe they weren't able to find before for them. So that's really what we wake up every day and try to think about is, hey, let's put ourselves in the shoes of the consumer who needs to get dinner on the table tonight.
So as a DevOps engineer, I'm curious how often you update your application and add new features.
Yeah, we have a very agile development process. So, we're constantly updating, constantly, bringing new capabilities that we decide, sometimes with a customer, they might have a more structured schedule that they want to introduce features on. And so, that's where if we're working with a big, client, we'll tailor it to their timelines. But, when we're in the driver's seat and doing it, we bring new functionality all the time.
So, Atlas, what do you say to my audience who will be watching this conversation from anywhere on this planet?
Well, so first off, thank you for watching. Really appreciate your interest. We think it's a really important thing to help people, eat and live better. That this can be a noble opportunity for technology to help people in a new way. And we know that there's a big problem. People are kind of lost today. So if you care about this problem, we'd love to find ways to work together with you to help bring this and build this into all of the touch points for food and for health that people have.
And to the technology experts who'll be watching this, who are very much interested in food, what you will say about this?
Yeah, well, we've been doing some pretty breakthrough things over the years, and what we're doing now with our Food LM platform is, I think, the most profound yet. So, I'd encourage you to kind of take a look at, for example, at our validators architecture that we've developed for generative AI. So if you're a tech enthusiast, starting to think about, the biggest problem facing, generative AI is the hallucination and accuracy, problem. And so we've actually stepped forward with a solution that addresses that, in this vertical market. And so our belief is that, the end outcome, you'll have verticalized AI functionality that brings in all the expertise, all the algorithms, all of the calculations and learnings that have happened and seamlessly makes that part of the experience. So when something gets generated, it's generated with the benefit of all of that. And so we think it's a pretty unique example and one of the first ones we've seen of us shipping this.
So is this the purpose of your life?
It is. I love to cook. Love doing that. It brings people together. Supports good health. All of those kinds of things. Because I've got a tech background and the ambition to help a lot of people, then we're trying to build very scalable models where we can take what works for a single family and now bring that to millions of families. And that's where we really enjoy working with the experts, coming from the different nutrition and chefs and all of the pieces to deliver a digital platform for that.
And as an expert, as a curious guy, as a person who is into humanity doing this service, what is your observation about my work?
Well, you're a really important part of the work because there's new things that get invented, but if no one realizes it, if no one gets educated on it, then the change doesn't happen very fast. And so you're a really important part of helping tell the story. I appreciate you having me on and all the great questions. And I hope your audience, there's a subset of them who might be interested in this, and would invite you to come to innit.com, see what we've got, and if there's ways that we can be working together, then we'd love to entertain that.
So I'll put your web links in the description of this video, also on my website as well. People who find my this conversation on podcast or on YouTube or any social platforms can able to see the work that you are doing, can able to enjoy the service that you're giving.
So thank you so much and really enjoyed meeting you and chatting, and I hope this spurs some good thinking with your audience.
Yeah, one last observation I need. It is extremely valuable. I'm a DevOps guy. I did master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working for a UK company as a DevOps engineer and a software developer, and it is a technology company. So how exchanging words with experts like you from all around the world, more than 100 countries, experts like you have had conversations with me. So how this experience is going to helpful for me in my career in coming days?
Well, it looks like it already has been. Congratulations for being in a super hot area, and sounds like having really great career track for that. I think your curiosity and that lifelong learning approach is fundamental. I mean, I've hired and I managed thousands of people over the years, and I really look for that. It's something that that curiosity, that self-driven. There's a lot of people who just toil away in their, in their cubicle and don't reach out, don't do that learning. So congratulations on that. And that's why I accepted. We'd never met before, but I looked at what you were doing. I said, I support this. And so I think, keep that up. You're going to be able to have a big impact, and and the breadth of experience that you're getting talking to all of these people, when you bring that back into whatever company you're working with, I think that really sets you up to have a bigger and bigger role there.
So I want you to reach everywhere in the world, and I'm sure thousands and millions of people are going to get benefit because of the service that you're giving.
Well, thank you. And, I really appreciate helping get the word out to, to your audience, and we really look forward to continuing the discussion.
Thank you very much, sir, again, for your time.
Absolutely. Keep it up.
Bye, sir.